no return, please. In the book of Ecclesiastes, just for a couple of verses, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I did not ask the choir to sing that hymn, and we've gone the last mile of the way, but I believe it is appropriate for our message tonight. And I was thinking that nowadays, with the news that's flashing again and again, practically every morning, of the sudden death of individuals, that not the last mile anymore, it seems like the last yard seems to be so frequent, unexpected. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 2, all things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good, to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that sweareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there's one event unto all, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil. Madness is in their heart. While they live, after that, they go to the dead. They go to the dead. The last hymn that we were singing, the last buried note is an extremely sad note. There are some who dare die without God, without Christ. The subject of death is never a pleasant one, yet it is a reality that's facing us every day of our life. And we're made aware of it, keenly aware of it, recently. We're told this morning that at least 2 billion people will be watching or have watched on television the procession, the funeral procession of Princess Di. 9 million people in London alone. Streets were lined for miles and miles from our home church. And the awesomeness of it all is, with all of the flowers and the array of display that was showered, that of sympathy by multitudes, and no matter how decorative the whole scene or sceneries may be, the fact is, he's dead. Cannot hide that. Saddens, it shocks, and the whole earth. The reason, I can understand being shocked, but you know something, we should never be surprised. But this happens constantly, all over the globe. It isn't new. The Word of God tells us this. It constantly reminds us, the preacher in the pulpit is pounding the pulpit again and again, reminding us of this fact. Sinners are warned and forewarned, and so it's not new, nothing new. And yet we are surprised. And so the subject tonight, I want to be gentle and gracious as I possibly can, because I realize that it's sort of a sorrowful subject. In fact, the suddenness of death is always sorrowful. The Word of God tells us as Christians, we sorrow not as others who have no hope. So a man who leaves this world, or a person who leaves this world, it is not only being cut off, but it's the fact of separation itself from an eternal God, lost forever. This is what comes home to our heart. This is what burns us again and again. This is something that creates or causes great pain to the child of God. We have graveyards. Or cemeteries, we may again decorate them. We can't hide the fact of death. Some places of the world are high fences, death behind the walls, evident. And we come up with all kinds of names, but it's still death. And so the study of death is nothing new. So that's why we are reminded in the Word of God, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because it is then that you're sensitive to the need, the pertinent need of life. It is then that one becomes sensitive to the fact that we're not here forever. We're here for a short span, maybe, Or we may live 70 years or longer, but we're going. We're going because the Word of God teaches it. 1 Corinthians 15:51, the apostle says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed." Verse 52 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Rapture, as we call it, the snatching away of the church of Jesus Christ, is the only thing that will rob the grave of death. If the rapture doesn't take place, the grave may claim me, may claim me. It is a fact, it is a reality. And as I said, it's never pleasant. A poet once said to his dear wife, "Dear, I wish that you could live 1,000 years and I 1,000 less one day, so that I'd never know the sorrow of passing away." What is that? Surely, you may be thinking tonight, Brother Frank, you do not need any exposition in death, but there's a biblical explanation to death. And we should be aware of what death really is. According to the Word of God, we have its origin, its certainty, which is universal. And we know what takes place because James tells us in chapter 2 of his book, verse 26, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." I borrow the first part of the verse. As the body without the spirit is dead. That's exactly what happens. When a person is dead, his spirit leaves his body. No amount of resuscitation, no amount of heart manipulation, or whatever other methods we might employ. When the spirit leaves the body, the individual Luke tells us in chapter 9, Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Well, how can the dead bury the dead? Is there some contradiction here? Now we're embarking on another form of death. The first is the physical death. James says, when the spirit leaves the body, death. Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." He's talking about a spiritual death. My friend, this is what we have to reckon with today. There's a spiritual death that we have in our world, and perhaps in our meeting tonight, that you need to be aware of, because we're told in Romans chapter 5, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, so death by sin, for death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." So the origin of death came when sin came into the world, and it was promised. Death. And the devil said, "He will not surely die." And I often try to envision Mama Eve when the news was brought to her that her son Abel was dead. She had never seen a dead person before. It was the first encounter, the first experience. The devil said, "Eve, thou shalt not surely die," but she was soon to be hit abruptly with the awfulness of death. She looked at it for the first time. That's why the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. No matter how we try to prevent it, no matter how good the doctors are, believe me, we've got medical science today who've made tremendous strides in seemingly prolonging life. The surgeon's knife is cut away here and cut away there, and men seemingly live a little longer, or their life has been prolonged, but then comes a time they still have to go. They still go the way of all the earth. Death. Ephesians 2:1 tells us, "You hath he made alive, who were dead," spiritual death. Now, see, we're using the term interchangeably. Colossians 2:13 says, you being dead in your sins hath he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all sin. Let me tell you, my friend, the spiritual death, far worse than the physical death. You say, are not both of them tragic? Yes, yes, no doubt about it. But what a lot of people don't understand, that the physical death of an individual is the beginning of something that holds far more terror for the unconverted man or woman. Because in that day when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and John saw it in Revelation 21, he says, I saw the small and the great and the dead stand before him at the great white throne judgment. And there the dead were cast into the lake of fire. How could dead be cast into the lake of fire? The dead there are those who have been separated from God. A separation. That's the spiritual death caused by sin. When a man really stubbornly says no to God, and the appeals that go out again and again, and the invitation, and the convicting power of the Spirit of God, he's been warned and forewarned and told, and he knows he's going to die physically, but he knows he's dead spiritually, and he does nothing about it. And then all of a sudden, the awfulness of death, snatched away, wrenched from the bosom of a loved one, and he's gone, never more to return. Then comes the awfulness of that death, that spiritual death. Jesus says, I never knew. Depart. The separation of spirit and body, what necessitates the death, separation of the soul from God, is an eternal thing as well. This spiritual death is the present condition of every unsaved person. But fortunately, this condition is not fixed yet. I'm so glad. If I could just stand here tonight and tell you, at this very moment, you have a moment of grace. You have a moment where that awful separating factor called death, the spiritual death, because a man that's not in Christ is dead. He's dead. He's dead. That's why you're not called upon to rationalize. You can't reason things in life. The more you try to reason them, the more perturbed and confused you're going to be. You know what? You're dead. Dead people spiritually cannot even understand all there is to know about God, even the Word of God. Oh, as we deal sometimes with the unconverted, I often hear them say, but I don't understand. I understand that you don't understand. Because dead people do not know nor understand. So what am I to do? The dilemma. Am I lost forever? Is this a fixed situation then for eternity? No, no, my friend. That's why salvation is by faith. You believe God. You take him at his word. Even if you don't understand it. You say, Lord, I know Jesus died. And he died for a rebel, a sinner like me. I don't understand how you can love me the way you did. That you gave your own beloved son. But I believe it. I receive him as my Savior and my Lord. This is what constitutes conversion and salvation. I hear another say, but I just don't feel it. How can dead people feel anything? Always waiting for a feeling. What, you expect to be emotionally swayed? Haven't you been jolted this week with awful shock of the going of Princess Di and other deaths in our land? Have you not been moved? Still, that is not the feeling that's going to give satisfaction or salvation or bring you any nearer God unless you come by faith. Oh, it may speak. It's like a sermon. Death is like a sermon. When it happens in the family, a friend, a loved one, it's like a sermon. What it does, it's telling me the day is coming. I could be the text of the great preacher death. He may use me as his servant. The ground down there might have another hole, and I may be the next one buried in. You hear that of Frank Perry? Well, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. I'm not here forever. Difference is, of course, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You can write that down, brother. Whatever preacher takes my funeral, I'm not, I often talk about this. You say, Brother Frank, you talk like you're expecting to go any day. No. No, if he leaves me here, I just want to serve him. I want to do what he wants me to do, but I'd be foolish. I'd be stupid, in fact, to think that it couldn't happen to me. That's what I'm trying to get across. I know when a loved one goes, it brings sorrow to the home. I know folks are jolted me. I mean, it's only natural. It's a natural thing. But oh, I want to tell you, when you're a child of God and you pass off into the presence of the Lord, it takes a lot of the sting out of death, robs the grave of its victory. And even though there's a lot of sorrow associated with it, buddy, let me tell you, oh, it's a lot more joyful when you know that you're with the Lord. Your loved one has gone home to glory. There's a lot of joy in that. We should be prepared. But this is the verse that came to me, and in fact coming to me all day today. He that being often reproved, that is often warned, often spoken to by the Spirit of God. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, rebellion, arrogance, complacency, stiff neck, turning his back. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall be suddenly cut off, or cut down. And that, without remedy. And that's why we preach the way we do. There's a sense of urgency tonight in our message. We cannot help it. Because, oh my friend, if I should hear in the morning, if I'm still here, if the phone should ring, and I hear that you're gone, and you're not ready to meet the Lord, it's painful. Painful. Man who accumulated a lot of wealth, he had no time for God, for anything else in the world. Just everything was money. And that night when he was gasping for air, he would say, in fact his wife heard him say, I'm going down a steep hill and I can't find the brake. And he was gone.